Well, it's great to be with you guys today again. So, man, Jesus is good. Jesus offers us a hope that the world can't. Though, I mean, honestly, you can find. You could go to a bookstore, you could go to Barnes & Noble and, right, you could find a book on how to succeed at basically anything in life, right? The one thing that the world can't give you, though, is salvation, and it's success in the kingdom, and that comes through the gift of Holy Spirit. It comes through the blood of Jesus, and God is so gracious that he comes to us. We're in a series right now. I called A Time for War, and it's saying, look, there comes a point where, you know, we recognize what Jesus has given us. He's given us victory. Like, what Jesus did on the cross wasn't partial, and it wasn't good for a season only. It was a one-time sacrifice that would have everlasting implications, right? And he's given that to us. And, you know, life is a struggle. And so we have these ups and downs, but we keep coming to Christ. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We have our salvation. It's fully secure because of what he did. Fortunately, it's not dependent on what we do. It's dependent on what he's done. And so it's not like a wishy-washy salvation at all. But what happens is, as we grow and we mature in our faith, we still find ourselves in the struggle. And it's these things come up kind of out of the ground, they take root in us. And sometimes it's bitterness, sometimes it's frustration, anger, it's distraction, and it's an addiction. It's just boredom. It's spiritual boredom. I mean, there's a number of things that can come up in us, and the only way to overcome this is to declare war and say, look, this thing's trying to gain a victory in me. But I have a victory from Christ Jesus, and I want that victory to win out. And so that's what this series is. It's four parts. Today's three. The first week we said, hey, if you're gonna declare war, you know, you need to recognize who God says you are, right? And so we're gonna think like a champion. Last week we said we're gonna speak like a champion. Today we're gonna act like a champion. So I watched. This week I watched the movie Samson. Has anyone seen this? I don't know when it came out, maybe in the last 2 years or so. And it's good. It's one of those movies, it's relatively accurate. It's good enough, right? It's a Hollywood movie, but it wasn't like I was totally fine with it, you know? And it was just interesting, though, because Samson, at the beginning of this movie, well, and really throughout the movie until, you know, when he gets humbled, but oh my goodness, this guy is just built like a tank. He is a champion. He's literally a champion. Like Goliath from the Philistines was a champion. They would send out their largest, biggest warrior, right? And he was their champion, and he would go fight another nation's champion, and whoever won, it was just easier to let the big guys duke it out, right? And all the weaker guys watch and cheer if their guy won. I mean, that's just kind of how they did it. Well, here's the thing about Samson. He totally, in this movie, it just portrays it visibly really well. He totally thought like a champion. He was very confident. He had no doubt he would say, he took these extreme risks where no one else would ever do. And didn't worry about it at all. He spoke like a champion. He let you know he was very confident, and he definitely acted like a champion. The way he carried himself was like not a worry in this world was going to bother him. Now, here's what ended up happening. See, God gave him a victory, right? God gave him this supernatural strength. But why did he carry himself like a champion? This is actually probably a really good question for us. Why did he carry himself like a champion? Well, Samson knew that the power that was within him was stronger than any power that was outside of him. He had more strength than anyone else could bring. It was the strength, the power that was within him, right? That also happened to be the place where he had a root grow up. Even though God had given him victory, called him a champion, arrogance came up, sprouted up in him, and this arrogance started to gain victory in him, and it became his downfall. Just like the Bible story, the movie, which is relatively the same, highlights that his arrogance, he believed he could do whatever he wanted, his strength was his own, he broke his vows to the Lord and all this. And this is just yet another reminder that everything God declares about us is true. Like, if God says you're a champion, you're a champion, and God does say that about you. But that doesn't mean things don't try to sprout up in us. Even the greatest of the champions, like a Samson, right? So we're gonna open our Bibles today. We're gonna go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you want to open your Bibles, that'd be great. All right. So this is a text. Paul writes to a church. He just visited Thessalonica. And this is about act like a champion. You think like a champion, you need to speak, but you need to actually carry it out like a champion. And so he says this. It's the beginning of chapter 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. He's very complimentary of the Thessalonians right here. It's almost like they're very sensitive. And he keeps assuring them, look, hey, you guys know the seasons. You know, like, you look over the bigger than just what's right in front of you. You actually look across the landscape and you can see where we're at in the history of time. Verse 2 says, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And this is Paul's part, a good chunk of this actually letter has to do with the day of the Lord, which is, you know, they're living just a decade, 15 years after Jesus died on the cross and ascended to heaven. And you know, the word on the street is he's coming back, and he's coming back soon, and there was an urgency, and they knew this. But, you know, it had also been a number of years, and so they're still waiting. But you know, as time goes on, some of the, you relax a little bit, right? And it becomes, well, 2,000 years later, you know, I think we've relaxed a whole lot, more than we should on this, but Christ is returning. This is one of the most major biblical points in the New Testament. But Paul says, hey, you know that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, meaning it'll come when you're not expecting it. He says, while people are saying, quote, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. He's saying, you know, when the world is saying, hey, peace, security, everything's okay, it's not a big deal, there's nothing to see here, everything's all right, people are blowing things out of proportion. He says, man, just like a woman who goes into labor pains, like, once you start, you know, they didn't know how to stop, right? Once it started, they were going into, that's what he's comparing it to. He says, but you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. It's coming like a thief in the night, but they'll know the time and the season, and so they're not going to be surprised by it. Because of this, verse 5, he says, for you're all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. So the word sleep, the sleep means more than sleep. Sleep different parts in Scripture. Sometimes it means to die. Sometimes it means to sleep, right? Just go to sleep. Sometimes it means to pass away from earth. Other times it means to just kind of be spacing off and missing a major point. And that's what he's referring to here. He said, let us not sleep. Let us not get distracted. Let us not like forget about this as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. Let's keep our mind sharp, focused on what God has spoken. For those who, this is verse 7, for those who sleep, now he's talking about actual sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That's the kind of the triad right there, right? Faith, hope, and love that Paul talks about. He talks about the helmet of hope, the breastplate of faith and love. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we might live with him. This time sleep actually means dead. Sleep means more than sleep, right? But whether we're alive now when Christ comes, or whether we've already passed and Christ comes, like our salvation is secure. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing. Saying, look, it's so important. This is like a rally to say, act like a champion. Make sure your life reflects the very place you're going, the relationship you would have with God in order to have salvation. And so it means that our daily activity should come from our new identity. Christ has given us a new identity. This is what salvation is. It's not just a ticket to heaven. It's a new me, right? Your old is put away. Your new is gifted to you. He gives us a new life. And our daily activity should come out of our new identity, right? So I just have three things. I just want to kind of 1, 2, 3 list them out about this, just a couple of thoughts. And the first one is this: we must, if we're going to act like a champion, we must carry ourselves like a champion, okay? Posture matters. So you ever see boxing, like during the weigh-in? I mean, it's funny if you don't take it seriously, which I don't, because I laugh. But the two boxers will stand up, right? They'll stand facing each other like this, and their chest are just sticking out so far, and they're nose to nose, and they're glaring at each other. Their nose is like vibrating because they're flaring their nostril. Everything's just like, they're just ready to go at it, right? And if they would only exhale, they're so close, they'd end up making out with each other. It's like, it's just weird. They're so intense trying to intimidate each other, right? Posture, right? It's if I can inflate myself, I can portray this powerful sense about myself, right? That's kind of how posture works physically. This is what's fascinating, though. There's a body of research that shows that strong posture, strong physical posture, actually makes you feel strong, and weak physical posture actually makes you feel weak. So, you know, if you're just kind of always walking around kind of slumped, you probably feel kind of, I don't know, not real rigorous, right? Just kind of like, yeah, I'm just along for the ride. Well, this is true physically. Okay? It's true with posture. But see, we must carry ourselves as a champion. If we're going to act like a champion, we have to carry ourselves like a champion. Physically, I honestly think this matters. Okay? Mentally, we got to carry ourselves like a champion. mentally. Meaning, if I'm a champion, can you imagine Tom Brady? Man, that guy did it again, didn't he? Mentally, here's the thing. When the Chiefs took the lead against the Patriots in the AFC Championship this year, a couple times, they would quickly zoom in on Tom Brady on the bench. Every single time, his face never changed. He's not smiling. He's not frowning. He's paying attention. He's relaxed. He gets his helmet, puts it on. Nothing changed about the guy's confidence was screaming just by the way he carried himself. It was obvious that mentally, I mean, it showed physically, but mentally, he was thinking like a champion. He was acting like a champion. He was already there. So physically, yeah, mentally, yeah, but spiritually, you're a champion in Jesus. What he's given you, right? And the reality is, yes, we have these things growing in us, trying to gain other victory. We totally do. I hope we're not in denial over that. There are aspects, there are ways that Satan wants to attack us, to tear us down, right? And so he'll try to root these other things to grow victory in us. Well, spiritually, you're a champion. But if we go around and it's, you know, you have a need and it's like, I should pray for that. But immediately we go to, I don't even know if God's ever answered one of my prayers. I don't know the last time. This feels like a long shot. I don't know. And there's this almost reasoning with God, like, I know I'm supposed to pray to you, but this kind of feels like a waste of time, but I feel like this helps me, like, I don't know, be a better Christian, so I'm going to pray. And it's total spiritual poverty. It's not praying as a champion. That's just like this weak posture, right? It's this weak disposition of where we're at spiritually. But if we're going to carry ourselves like a champion spiritually, this means I'm going to remember Jesus' track record. So what if it's true that you can't remember the last time Jesus answered a prayer of yours? Which is probably, just suppose that that's true, right? You can't. To pray like a champion, right? To act like a champion. You're not praying out of your own track record. You always pray out of Jesus's. He's got a perfect track record. He hasn't blown it. He hasn't missed. And so this is the thing. If I'm going to act like a champion, I'm going to see myself as spiritually wealthy. I have access to everything there is in heaven. Because God, my Father, would release everything for heaven to grant me a victory. This is what acting like a champion, this is what carrying ourselves like a champion looks like spiritually. Second point. Oh, there's a C.S. Lewis quote, actually. I want to share that first. Mere Christianity. He said, very often, the only way to get equality in reality is to start behaving as if you had it already. Which sounds like, is that fake it till you make it? Like, what is that? It's like, no, this is spiritually speaking. The best way to get something in reality is to start acting like you have it. Like, carry yourself like a champion. This matters. Okay, the second point, though. Champions keep the end in mind. Always keep the end in mind. The scripture is about the day of the Lord is coming. Why should you act like a champion? Well, the day of the Lord is coming, right? That's what the passage of scripture really is. In sports, I know there's a lot of sports in this series, but championships are made in the off season. Really, that's where the grind happens. You might, depending on what sport, you know, maybe you play 162 games, maybe you play 16 games or 12, but championships are made in the off season. when the grind happens, when you work out, when it's you know, nobody's watching, the cameras aren't on you, and it's not about the glory in that time. There are incredible moments. You know, there's value in that, in the moments of training when nobody else is watching. There's health, there's the friendship of your teammates, there's the there's the joy in that. But honestly, if you're an athlete and your season doesn't start for 4 more months and you're hitting the weights and you're going after it so hard, what's actually getting you through that is the dream. The dream of finding success, the dream of finding a championship. At the end, you know, I mean, 4 months the season will start, and then however many months after that it'll end. But that's what keeps you going, is like you have this vision, you have this belief that this is worth it. If I invest everything I got for the championship that's all the way, it's like 11 months from now, this is worth it. This is keeping the end in mind. And here's how the enemy works for us. He's so good at distraction. He wants the knockout win, but he'll take distraction. This is just how Satan works. I don't know if you follow, I'm not a Lakers fan at all, actually. They're probably my least favorite team, to tell you the truth. But they have right now the world's greatest player in LeBron James. A week ago, there were all kinds of trade rumors that this player was going to get traded to LA. They wanted him, but it was going to take like gut the Lakers roster. I mean, like half the team. And the Lakers were such a mess mentally, because they were hearing the rumors. It's LA, so everything's big media, right? They went out and played a game, and I'm pretty sure it was the largest loss in franchise history that they lost this game. And why? They have LeBron James. They have incredible talent on their team. Why did they lose so badly? Well, they were distracted. Satan can take down a mighty champion if he can get the champion distracted, right? Distraction's a significant part of how he operates. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, when Paul says, what's he saying? Remember, he says that the world is saying, quote, there is peace and security. That's saying everything's okay. Relax, calm down, we're all okay. This is what the world's saying, right? If you're a Christian, you're going plenty hard. It's not, you know, you can relax. Let the foot off the gas a little bit. It's totally okay. You know, it's okay. You can watch this. It's not that big of a deal. You can smoke that. Come on. It should be legal anyway, right? And your time with God, you've read the Bible like twice this week. He's not going to like send you to hell if you skip a day. Come on. You know, I mean, right, there's all this reasoning of like, it's all okay. There's peace and security. This is the message. But for a follower of Christ who recognizes his victories in Christ, it's not slavery to persist in the things of the Lord. It's actually keeping your mind on the end. And a champion always, always perseveres and sees there's a goal, there's a dream, and sometimes it's around the curve. But you know it and you believe it, and you've dedicated your life to this championship. And that's why we want to carry ourselves in such a way. We want to act as a champion who lives with the end in mind. We're not going to sacrifice the end just for some temporary joy. A champion just doesn't do that, right? And the last point on this is champions rally around their tribe. Little Red Riding Hood, if she had had a couple friends with her, the big bad wolf wouldn't have been such a threat, would it? That story is scary because she's a little girl all alone. Right? I mean, what if she had five other kids with her? All of a sudden, six of them, the big bad wolf's just as big, just as bad, just as much wolf, whether there's one or six, right? Like the wolf, still the same type of thing. But when there's more, and they're together and they're united, the threat is considerably lower. It's still a big bad wolf, but the threat's not the same. So that's what our tribe, that's a champion rallies with others, is not a lone ranger. God did not make us to be lone rangers in the faith. He did not create us so that I could have my salvation, I could take care of me, it's my way, I got what I need out of this world, and I'm going to make it through and be just fine. He didn't create us to live like that at all. He created us to invest in one another. I love team sports. I absolutely love team sports because it's more than just the individual. Mentioned LeBron earlier. Why did LeBron leave Cleveland the first time and, you know, take his talents to South Beach? It's because he couldn't win a championship in Cleveland. He didn't have a team. He was a one-man show. He wasn't much of a team player at the time either. I mean, he was a one-man show. He had to go where there was other talent. And what did he do? He's since, like, won all kinds of championships, right? And when he went back to Cleveland, he had more players that helped, right? But the whole idea is a great individual is wonderful. But when that person can be a team player, when that person can invest in others, share his or her leadership, be selfless, this is imitating Jesus. The greatest champion to ever live is Jesus. And he didn't just stick to himself. He invested himself. He sold himself to these 12. And he knew. I mean, it wasn't like, you stay loyal to me, I'll stay loyal to you. He knew Judas. He knew. And he still invested in this man. This is ultimate love, right? It's selfless. But this is what God calls each of us. He's labeled us. He's given us a victory to say, you're a champion. But I don't want you to do it alone. I want you to rally around your tribe. I don't know if you've heard it said that you're the average of the five people you spend your time with, like the most time with. And it's been said that this works financially. If you pick the five people, you know, outside your family that you spend the most time with, you're probably the average of where they're at financially. Humor, like what makes you laugh. You know, there's commonality. You kind of shift and shape around those people, that tribe, right? This works spiritually very much. That spiritually we're the average of say, take the five, the people that we spend the most time with. Which makes you think, okay, who am I spending the most time with? There's a Pastor Craig Groeschel, he said it this way. I've heard him say, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. It's like, you can't really refute that. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You realize church is a gift from God. I'm not talking building, I'm not talking institution, I'm nothing like that. I'm talking church, meaning us, the people. You're a gift to each other. Champions rally around their tribe. to act like a champion, to think like a champion, speak like a champion, but to act like a champion. It means to invest in one another more and more. It's not just about getting what I can get out of it. I'm a better man today. I'm a better woman today, right? It's actually, no, there's this selfless part. It's a team sport. Our salvation, you know, I can't earn somebody else's, but I can sure help that person walk it out. I can really help that person, right? And that person can really help me walk out my salvation. This is why church is so important. This is why coming together weekly, it matters. It's so good, I think, for the individual, but I think it's just as much, not just because God's presence, but I think honestly, like when we sharpen each other, when we build each other up, that's significant. Our small groups. Why be in a small group? It's probably of anything the church does, that's probably the place to go deepest with other individuals. And you make it from an individual sport to a team sport, it truly becomes that. But I think this extends to anything, social media. I honestly think this has far-reaching implications, though. See, if we're going to act like a champion, we got to cling to our tribe. We got to invest in one another, grow with each other, care about each other in the most critical ways, pray for each other. God has victory for us. Man, we keep coming to that. Salvation is the gospel is what Jesus did on the cross for us. He didn't create us to like just try to be barely hanging on in it. He gave us such a victory, a clear, decisive victory. But he's inviting us to declare war against the things in our life that the enemy would plant in us to distract us, get us ready for the knockdown. And we need each other. We need to carry ourselves, act like the champions he's made us to be. Let's pray. Jesus, I just thank you again that every single person that you've created over the face of this earth, that when you went to the cross, you died for that person too, to give a decisive victory. Lord, help us walk it out. Let us stand tall, physically, but mentally, and most certainly spiritually. Let us believe. Let us courageously march together as church to love you, to love one another, and especially to love this world all around us. God, let the tribe go out together, sow into others, and bring love. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.